The Santa Barbara Theater of the Air presents George Backman, Julie Holst, Frank Hotchkiss, Lorraine Hall Smithers, Leslie Ann Story, and Edie Tolt in The Flattering Word by George Kelly. The time? A winter day, about 1915. The place? Youngstown, Ohio. We're in the home of Reverend Loring Wrigley and his wife Mary. Mary is in the living room as she hears Reverend Wrigley with several parishioners in the front hall.
Well, you know, he who loves the danger shall perish in it. You'll excuse me.
Well, we know what you went through last November.
Don't mention it, Doctor. Not at all, I'm sure.
It's too much for me.
I'll be right in, Reverend.
Well, you better, Mrs. Zucker. You know, the good die young.
Ain't he terrible?
Is that Mrs. Zucker out there?
Oh, yes, she's talking with Mrs. Fox.
Are they coming in?
Well, Mrs. Zucker is immediately. Yes, she has one of my lists.
Well, you haven't been standing out there in the cold, have you?
Oh, I should say I haven't.
Well, listen, Loring. This telegram came a few minutes ago, and I've been terribly anxious till you'd get here.
Is it for me?
No, it's for me.
Bad news?
No, it's from my brother Joe. Read it.
What's this name? Eugene what?
Eugene Tesh. He's the one you've heard me speak of that used to go to school with my brother Joe and me, back in Baltimore.
Oh.
We used to live next door to each other when we were children.
Yeah, but what's this plays Youngstown the 27th?
Yes, that's tonight. That's the reason I've been so anxious till you'd get here. You see, it says, played Newark 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe must have seen him because it says, asked about you, told him you were living in Youngstown, gave him your address. He is going to walk in on you when he plays Youngstown the 27th. Thought I'd better tip you off. And you see, today is the 27th.
What does it mean he plays Youngstown?
He's on the stage. He went on the stage shortly after he left school.
You mean that he is an actor?
Yes. You've surely heard me speak of Eugene Tesh.
I can't say that I have.
Well, his name is always in the newspapers. He's a dramatic star.
Well, I am not familiar with the names of dramatic stars.
I thought perhaps you might have seen his name on one of the theatrical billboards.
I never look at theatrical billboards.
I suppose Joe thought he'd better send me this wire so that I'd be sure to be in case Mr. Tesh comes.
Well, you can be in if you like.
Well, you'll see him if he comes, won't you, Loring?
Isn't that a rather strange question to ask me?
Why so?
You understand the opposition of our church to the theater?
But this isn't the theater, Loring.
Your friend is of it, isn't he?
Yes, of course.
Well, very well, then. Besides, I think I've sufficiently emphasized my personal opposition to the theater. The life of the stage is not compatible with the life of a Christian, and I see nothing to be gained by association with its people.
Well, what can I do?
Well, you can do nothing very well under the circumstances, but I certainly shouldn't care to have any of the members know that we were entertaining stage folk.
They needn't know anything about it.
Well, how could you prevent it if you should walk in while Mrs. Zucker is here? And what time is he coming?
It doesn't say in this wire.
Well, it's 5:08 now.
Well, if he has to play tonight, I don't see how he's going to come out here, unless he comes before dinner.
Well, I'm going to my study. Tell Mrs. Zucker to bring her list right in. If it should be necessary to introduce your friend to her, I should suggest that you refer to him as an acquaintance rather than as an actor. And let me know when he's gone. You better put something around your shoulders. This room isn't any too warm.
If you'll wait there for a second, I'll call her. Why, there's a gentleman here to see you, Mrs. Wrigley.
Oh, is there, Mrs. Zucker?
Yes, he's right out here at the door.
Thanks so much. Mr. Wrigley said to go right into the study.
Oh, all right. I will.
Aren't you frozen?
No, I don't seem to mind the cold very much.
You're lucky. Is this Eugene Tesh?
Then you have been expecting me.
Only for the past 15 minutes. I'm so glad to see you again, Gene.
And I'm certainly delighted to see you too, Mary.
You certainly have grown up.
So have you.
Have I?
Rather.
Come right in, Gene. I suppose we've been thinking of each other as we were at school.
Yes.
I had this wire from Joe only 15 minutes ago, saying that you were to play here tonight. Otherwise, I don't suppose I should ever have known that you were in town at all.
I had intended to walk in on you and surprise you.
Well, you certainly have.
But Joe has given it away.
Well, I suppose he only did that to make sure I'd be in, so that you wouldn't have your trip out here for nothing. Won't you take off your things, Jean?
I'll take off my cane.
Put it there.
You see, I carry a cane now.
So I see. Is that the sign of age?
Sign of an actor. You seem to be very nicely fixed here, Mary.
Yes. We're comfortable.
Joe tells me you married a minister.
Yes. Dr. Wrigley.
How do you like him? I mean, do you get along well with him?
Yes. Very well.
You do?
Yes.
I've never been in a minister's house before.
Haven't you?
No. It's quite like other people's houses, isn't it?
You're quite like other people, Jean.
You wouldn't have thought so if you'd seen the way that woman stared at me out at the door.
Who, Mrs. Zucker?
The woman that let me in.
Yes, that's Mrs. Zucker.
Does she work here?
No, she just helps my husband with the church work. Sit down, Jean.
I can't stay a moment, Mary. My train was 2 hours late.
Did you just get into town?
10 minutes ago. I came out here in a taxi.
Well, you can sit down for a minute.
I haven't been to a hotel yet.
And what have you been doing all these years, Jean?
Acting. All over the place. Is this your husband's picture?
No, that's Abraham Lincoln.
Oh. And what sort of man is your husband, Mary?
Oh, like most ministers, I suppose.
But I don't know any ministers. What book is this?
That's our church manual.
Very interesting, I suppose.
If you're a good church member.
I'll have to get a copy.
I suppose you never go to church, do you, Jean?
No. But I have a very intimate friend who has been there. Is that your church I see out the window?
Yes. Don't you think it's pretty?
I should say romantic.
Rather. We had 3 weddings in it last month.
It isn't so innocent as it looks, is it?
Are you married, Jean?
What?
I say, are you married?
Why, not this season.
You're perfectly dreadful, Jean. Aren't you really married, Jean?
No, really, I'm not married.
Why, I thought you'd have been married years ago.
I shouldn't care for it.
Well, how do you know whether you would or not?
I have played husband so often that I am quite disillusioned.
Are you playing the part of a husband in this piece you're doing now?
Yes. He's one of those very good husbands. I'll be glad when the season's over. By the way, Mary, where is your husband?
In his study, I suppose.
Does he know I'm here?
I haven't told him.
Going to?
Not necessarily, Jean.
Is he opposed to the theater?
Very much. Our church is, you know.
Oh, really? Are you?
Indeed, I'm not. I'm crazy about the theater and always have been.
Well, do you go?
I can't very well. He's so dreadfully opposed, personally.
I suppose it's a lucky thing Mrs. Zucker didn't know that I was an actor a while ago, or she wouldn't have let me in at all.
I guess not. But really, Jean, I haven't been to see a play since I've been married, and that's nearly 7 years ago.
Oh, dear me.
Can you imagine that?
No.
And you were playing in New York 3 years ago while we were there.
Is that so?
Yes, and I did my level best to try to get to see you, but I simply couldn't manage it. And it nearly broke my heart, because I've always been dying to see you on the stage.
Well, we must try and manage it tonight, Mary.
I don't think we'll succeed.
Has your husband ever been on the stage?
Heavens, no.
You should have told him that he ought to have been. It invariably removes any prejudices.
I'm afraid he'd shoot me, Jean.
Not the slightest danger, my dear girl. That is the flattering word, the one compliment that has never failed. Tell any man, woman, or child that he should be on the stage, and you'll find him quite as susceptible as a cat is to catnip.
Why is that, Jean?
Because every human being has at some time or other in his life experienced the desire to be on the stage. Of course, you may not admit it, But he has, just the same. And if he hasn't, all you've got to do is tell him he should be on the stage, and he will experience it. I tell you, Mary, that is the universal susceptibility. And very naturally so. The most fundamental instinct of human life is to express oneself. And the stage is perhaps the most complete form of self-expression, so that when a person is stage-struck, he is simply struck with the desire to express himself more completely. If I were to tell Mrs. Zucker, or your husband, or anybody, from the minister to the mechanic, that he should be on the stage, why, the first thing you know, he'd start inquiring about the fair to New York.
Well, please, don't tell my husband or Mrs. Zucker that they should have been on the stage while I'm in the room.
Why not?
Because I'd never be able to keep my face straight. Oh, here's a little picture of my husband. It's ages old, but it isn't a bad picture. He had it taken in Boston, I think, a long time ago.
Does he look like this?
Now, you have to excuse me for bothering you, Mrs. Wrigley.
Oh, are you going, Mrs. Zucker?
Yes, I've got to run along. It's after 5. I told Mr. Wrigley I'd be right over again after supper to go over that other list.
Oh, Mrs. Zucker, I want you to meet Mr. Tesh. This is a gentleman I went to school with in Baltimore.
Oh, is that a fact, Mrs. Wrigley?
And we haven't seen each other since. Mrs. Zucker, Jean.
How do you do, Mrs. Zucker?
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
What company are you here with, Mrs. Zucker?
Sir?
I say, what company are you playing here with?
Jean, Mrs. Zucker isn't on the stage.
Beg pardon?
I say Mrs. Zucker isn't on the stage.
Oh, isn't she?
No.
Why, I thought I understood you to say that Mrs. Zucker was in the profession.
No, I didn't, Jean.
Well, how extraordinary that I should have gotten that impression. I was quite sure you said that Mrs. Zucker was in the profession.
Now, what's he saying?
Mr. Tesh thought you were an actress, dear.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Good night. I'll have to tell Arlena that.
Yes, you must.
I'm sure I don't know what there is about me that make anybody think that. Oh, dear. What made you think it, Mr. Tesh?
What'd you say, Mrs. Zucker?
I say, what made you think I was an actress?
Well, I don't know that I could say exactly, Mrs. Zucker, but, well, you gave me that impression.
Is that a fact?
Yes.
Well, what do you think of that? I guess it must have been my voice.
It may have been.
Because I know when I was growing up, people always used to say that I had quite a voice.
Well, you have appeared publicly, haven't you?
Well, not much these late years, but before I was married, I used to go on quite a bit at the little affairs we used to have at the Sunday school.
You recited, didn't you?
Yes.
Dramatic recitations?
Oh, very dramatic.
I should imagine you would do those best.
Is that so?
Yes, there is a distinctly dramatic quality in your voice, Mrs. Zucker.
Oh, is that a fact?
Distinctly.
Now, what do you think of that? Well, now, that's a funny thing, because since I've been married, I kind of give it up.
Ah, don't you think that was a mistake, Mrs. Zucker?
Well, yes, I do sometimes, Mr. Tesh. But you see, my husband has always carried on so whenever I've went on.
I see.
Of course, he has no talent of any kind himself, so I don't suppose he can understand how anybody else can have any.
Yes, that's the way it goes, Mrs. Zucker.
But do you know, it's a funny thing, Mr. Tesh. It just seems like the irony of fate. I have a daughter.
Ah, yes.
Arlena, Mrs. Wrigley has heard her. She'll be 15 the 21st day of this coming May. And do you know, she just seems to have took that from me.
You mean her talent?
Yes. Now, last Thanksgiving Eve... No, I'm telling a lie. It was New Year's Eve.
I was going to say.
We were having a little entertainment down at the Guild, and she done that piece of Longfellow's called Ring the Bell.
Ah, yes, yes.
And do you know, she was just wonderful, really. And as I sat there watching her going through her gestures and taking her part off so good, I just began to realize what a fool I'd been to give it all up. And I made up my mind then and there that if Arlena's cut out for the stage, I'll never raise my voice to keep her from it.
You're a very sensible woman, Mrs. Zucker.
Never. She can go to the heights, and I'll never stand in her way.
You're a very sensible woman.
Well, I've got to run along. It's 5:30. Well, I'm awful glad to have met you, Mr. Tesh, I'm sure.
Thank you, Mrs. Zucker. I'm sure I'm very pleased to have met you, too.
I'm going to ask you an awful personal question if it wouldn't be making too free.
Not at all. What is it?
Ain't you an actor?
Yes.
Now, ain't that funny? I never set eyes on Mr. Tesh before in all my life, and yet the minute I seen you at the door, I knowed you was an actor.
Well, you know the old saying, Mrs. Zucker, the eagle knows the eagle.
Well, I guess there's something in that, too.
Indeed. I guess there is. Yes, indeed.
My husband has been an eagle for 12 years. Well, I've got to skip along. Do you show here tonight, Mr. Tesh?
Yes.
How do you like Youngstown?
Oh, it's like New York and the rest of them.
Well, of course, we don't think like there's no place in the world like Youngstown.
I've never seen anything just like it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Tesh couldn't have met Arlena.
Yes, it's too bad.
Is she the one who recites?
Yes. She's not home this afternoon, or I'd have her come over and do one or two of her little pieces for you.
That'd be lovely.
Yes, she went to the lecture at the Guild.
Oh, did she?
Yes, and I'm kind of anxious till she gets home to hear how it was. But goodbye, Mr. Tesh.
Goodbye, Mrs. Zucker.
I guess my husband will think I've eloped. Now, Mrs. Wrigley, don't come out here in this cold hallway with me.
I won't.
That's the way people gets their death. I'll let myself out.
All right, Mrs. Zucker. You're perfectly terrible, Jean.
Listen, you don't think there's any danger of her bringing her daughter over here, do you?
I don't think she's home.
You know, I've heard a few child wonders in my time.
What is it, Loring?
Has Mrs. Zucker gone?
Yes, this minute. Did you want to see her?
I did, yes, but it's not important. She'll be over again this evening.
Yes, she said she would. Loring. I want you to meet Mr. Tesh.
Oh.
This is the Eugene Tesh that you've possibly heard me speak of, that I used to go to school with in Baltimore. I'm ashamed to say how many years ago. My husband, Gene.
How do you do, Mr. Wrigley?
How do you do, sir?
I should have known you from your photograph.
I've just been showing Mr. Tesh that old picture you had taken in Boston.
Oh, that's quite an old picture.
Taken before you entered the ministry, wasn't it, Mr. Wrigley?
Yes.
I noticed you weren't wearing the frock.
Oh.
I've always been trying to persuade him to have some new pictures taken, but he simply won't do it.
Well, that's quite a good picture.
But it's ages old, Loring. And besides, it isn't very ministerial looking either. Now, if I didn't know you and were to see that picture, I'd be more likely to think it was the picture of a well-to-do businessman than a minister. Wouldn't you, Jean?
No, I should hardly say a businessman.
Well, you'd never say a minister, would you?
No, I don't think I should.
Now, you see that, Loring?
I'm afraid I'd be more inclined to think it might be the picture of an actor.
Oh, that's very funny.
I dare say Mr. Wrigley will be very much scandalized, but
you're not the first that said that.
No?
No, my photographs invariably give that impression.
Is that so?
Invariably.
Then there must be some truth in it, Mr. Wrigley.
Well, you know what everybody says.
Indeed, that's very true.
You know, Mr. Tesh, it's the most extraordinary thing. 9 out of 10 persons who see this photograph are of the impression that it is the photograph of a dramatic artist.
Yes.
Personally, I have never been able to understand how that could be so.
Well, frankly, Mr. Wrigley, I can't see how anybody who would be at all familiar with the dramatic earmarks could come to any other conclusion.
Is that so?
Well, look closely at the picture. Take this line here, for example.
You mean...
From the tip of your nose to the top of your upper lip.
Yes, I see what you mean.
That line is essentially dramatic.
Is that so?
Essentially. Then, of course, the eye is an unfailing indication.
Well, I don't know that I've ever noticed the eye particularly. Excuse me just a moment till I get my other glasses.
That's quite all right.
It's rather difficult to see anything very closely with these.
Mr. Wrigley, have you ever seen a photograph of Edwin Booth.
Edwin Booth, the actor, you mean?
Yes.
Well, yes, I believe I have, Mr. Tesh.
Didn't anything strike you particularly?
About Mr. Booth's picture, you mean?
Yes.
Well, it's been so long ago I'd scarcely remember.
Well, the next time you have an opportunity of seeing a photograph of Mr. Booth, I'd like you to compare it right in around the eyes with your picture here, right in here. See if you don't get what I mean.
Here we come right in without ringing. Close that door, dear. Mrs. Wrigley, I thought I'd like to have Lena meet Mr. Tesh. Hurry, Lena. I didn't think she'd be home from the lecture yet, but she says it was over before 5. Mr. Tesh, this is the girl I was speaking to you about, our Lena.
How do you do, Lena?
Hello.
Mr. Tesh is an actor, dear. And I thought if you just run over one or two of them little pieces that you done New Year's Eve at the Guild, it might give him an idea of your talent. You remember that piece you done New Year's Eve, don't you?
I done 2 pieces New Year's Eve.
Yes, I know. But I mean the first one you done, when they clapped you so, about ringing the bells.
Oh, that was Ring Out Wild Bells by Alfred G. Tennyson.
Yes, that's the one I mean. I don't think Mr. Tesh has ever heard that, have you, Mr. Tesh?
I don't believe I have, Mrs. Zucker.
Oh, it's an awful dramatic thing. But I guess that's right in your line, ain't it?
Quite so.
Now stand right there, dear, and do that for Mr. Tesh.
I don't think I remember it anymore.
Well, say what you remember, dear.
I ain't spoke it since New Year's.
Well, it'll come to you as you go along. And I'm sure Mr. Tesh won't mind, even if you do break down.
That's quite all right.
Now stand right up, dear, and don't forget your gestures.
Lena, get the full round tone.
Yes, sir.
Go on, dear.
Ring out wild bells to the wild sky, the flying cloud, the frosty light, the year is dying in the night. Ring out wild bells and let him
louder,
die.
Louder, dear, louder.
Ring out the old, ring in the new, ring happy bells across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true.
Go right on, dear. I'll answer it. Go right on, Lena.
I forget where I was now.
Ring out the grief that saps the mind.
Oh, sure. Ring out the grief that saps the mind for those that here we see no more.
Mr. Who?
Ring out the feud of rich and poor.
Magoon.
Ring in redress to all mankind. Ring out a slowly dying cause.
Why, there's nobody here by that name that I know of.
And ancient forms of paltry strife. Ring in the nobler modes of life.
Well, just a minute
with
now,
sweeter
see.
Manners, purer laws. Ring out the care, the want, the sin.
There's a woman here looking
faithless
for a man
called coldness of the time.
She must have the wrong
ring
number.
Out, ring out have. My mournful rhymes, but ring the fuller minstrel in.
Now, Mr. Wrigley says
ring
she
out
must
the
have
false
the
pride
number.
In place of blood, the civic slander
T4.
And the spite.
Oh, you're
ring
welcome.
In the love of truth and right. Ring in the common love of good. Ring in the common love of good.
Can't you remember the rest of it, dear?
No, I think that's all I remember just now. It's been so long since I done it.
Ring out old shapes of foul disease. Ring out
yes,
the narrowing lust of gold.
Shut up, dear.
Ring in the 1,000 wars of old. Ring in the 1,000 years of peace. How was that?
Bravo, Mr. Wrigley, bravo!
There's another verse or two, but they've escaped my mind.
I consider you a very great artist.
See here, Mr. Wrigley. Mr. Tesh said a while ago that I ought to be on the stage.
Well, he was flattering you, Mrs. Zucker.
Well, maybe he was, but I think he ought to tell you the same thing.
Oh, nonsense, Mrs. Zucker, nonsense.
Don't you agree with me, Mr. Tesh?
Perfectly, perfectly, Mrs. Zucker. I'm afraid if the pulpit hadn't gotten Mr. Wrigley, the theater would.
But what do you think of my little girl, Mr. Tesh?
Why, Mrs. Zucker, I think if your daughter lives, she has a future.
Do you hear that, dear? She does some comical pieces, too, but I guess she's forgotten them by this time, haven't you, dear? Don't you remember that Irish piece you used to do about the cook? She used to do one of them pieces where she had to take off the Irish brogue, and she'd have you dying in it.
I'd imagine she'd be delightful.
Sure you don't remember that piece, dear?
Well, I'm afraid Mr. Tesh won't have much time. If you want to be back in town by 6.
Yes, I must go immediately. I'm very sorry, Mr. Wrigley.
Is that your automobile out there?
Yes.
Do you travel around in that?
No, dear. He travels round on the trains. Where do you show tomorrow night, Mr. Tesh?
In Akron, Ohio.
Where was you last night?
Erie.
P.A.?
Yes.
Oh,
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. He might have went out to see your Aunt Ida. See, I have a sister living right outside of Erie, at Overbrook.
Is that so?
Yes, you might have went out to see her.
Yes, it's too bad I didn't know about it.
Where do you go after you go where you go tomorrow night?
I think I shall have to send you my route, Lena.
Oh, Mr. Tesh, do you know a young man by the name of Harry Culberson? He's a distant relative of my husband's.
Why, I don't believe I do, Mrs. Zucker. Is he an actor?
Oh, yes, he's right in your line. That's the reason I thought you might have run across him.
What company is he with?
Why, the last letter we had from him, he had charge of the elephants with the Barnum and Bailey Circus.
No, I'm afraid I don't know him, Mrs. Zucker. I'm sorry.
Do you ever get ashamed when you first come out?
She means nervous.
Oh, sometimes, yes.
Oh, Lena does, too.
Is that so?
Is it true that Pearl White is the most beautiful woman in the world?
Shut your mouth, Lena.
Don't forget your things, Jean.
No, I'm going immediately.
I suppose you run across some awful funny people traveling around the country the way you do, don't you, Mr. Tesh?
Yes, very funny indeed, Mrs. Zucker. Very funny.
How do you get your laundry done when you're always on the go?
Don't ask so many questions, Lena. Oh, there is a question I wanted to ask you, Mr. Tesh, before I forget it. Did you ever show in a place called Hutchinson, Kansas?
Hutchinson, Kansas? I believe I've passed through there several times.
Well, it's right outside Dodge City.
Yes, I know where it is.
Well, the reason I asked you is because we had a neighbor went out there to live some years ago.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, and she sent Lena the loveliest postal card of Niagara Falls. Lena saves them. She has quite a collection. So, if ever you run across a very fancy one, she'd be delighted to have you send it to her. Wouldn't you, dear?
Sure.
Well, when I get back to New York, I'll send her one of the Rocky Mountains.
Thank you.
Have you everything, Jean?
I think so.
Well, Mr. Tesh, what do you think I ought to do about this girl? Do you think she belongs on the stage? She's always acting.
Oh, I am not.
Now, you are too, dear.
There are very few of us who are not always acting, Mrs. Zucker. It's only when one learns how not to act that one really belongs on the stage.
Well, what do you think I ought to do with her?
What are you doing with her now?
Why, she's a waitress down in Schuster's Bakery on Fridays and Saturdays. But she's terrible dissatisfied, said she'd much rather be in the moving pictures.
Well, that isn't a bad idea. Many waitresses have done very well in the pictures. However, personally, I think your daughter is a bit young to think of leaving the bakery.
Well, I think that myself.
Besides, in a bakery, an actress can always be reasonably sure of getting something to eat.
Yes, that's true enough.
However, if her genius continues to develop, I think it would not be a bad idea to take her to see a play occasionally.
Well, of course, we don't go to the theater very much on account of the church being opposed, you know.
Is your church opposed to the theater?
Yes.
And why?
Well, I guess Mr. Wrigley can answer that question better than me.
Well, I think Mr. Tesh understands that church people do not usually associate the two institutions.
But I think they should be associated, Mr. Wrigley.
Well,
personally, I've always regarded them as simply different branches of the same profession. Of course, I speak of the two institutions in their best sense.
Well, I'm afraid one doesn't see much of the best sense of the theater nowadays, Mr. Tesh.
One doesn't see anything at all, Mr. Wrigley, if one doesn't look.
That's true enough. But then one hears so many dreadful things of the people of the theater.
Perhaps you mean one reads so many dreadful things.
Well, probably.
Frankly, I've read a great many very shocking things about church people, but I go to church occasionally, and I know some very good people who go to the theater regularly.
Well, no doubt, indeed.
I know some girls got a ticket to see you tonight.
I'll leave a ticket for you, Lena, if you want to see me.
Can I, Mom? Can I?
Well, you couldn't very well go alone, dear.
I shall leave a ticket for you, Mrs. Zucker. You can go with her.
Well, I guess Mr. Wrigley'd have to be consulted about that.
I shall leave a ticket for Mr. Wrigley also.
Thank you very much.
Bring him along with you, and if he sees anything in my play that in any way endangers your salvation, why, then he need never allow you to go to the theater again.
What is the name of your play, Mr. Tesh?
The Open Mind.
The Open Mind?
The Open Mind.
And what is the idea of it?
It's about a man who had an idea that he was very good and that everybody else was very bad. Until one night he went to see a play. And in one part of this play, the theater was so dark that the audience couldn't see one another. And presently, he heard various people around him weeping over the injustice that was being done to the hero, and later applauding when the villain was killed. And it gave him an idea that if people sitting in the dark where nobody can see them will weep over injustice and applaud the downfall of iniquity, why, these things must be very vital to them. Perhaps more so than they were to him, because he didn't weep and he didn't applaud either.
What did he do?
He opened his mind, Mr. Wrigley, wide open, because he saw that he had been mistaken all his life.
And it took the theater to correct this mistake?
Precisely. The theater gave him the only opportunity that one has of seeing people in the dark.
What did he do then? Become an actor?
No, no. He became a minister. So you come along with Mrs. Zucker tonight, Mr. Wrigley. You may get a very good idea for a sermon.
Indeed, that's very true. I might.
And Mrs. Zucker, I leave those tickets at the box office for you. That'll be one for you and Lena.
And Mrs. Wrigley and myself.
Just the four of you?
Yes, just the four of us, yes.
Goodbye, Mrs. Zucker.
Goodbye, Mr. Tash.
I'm very pleased to have met you.
Thank you.
Although I'm sorry I couldn't have heard your daughter in one of her Irish numbers.
Yes, it's too bad.
Well, some other time, I hope.
I hope so, too.
And Lena, Lena, I think I shall see you someday on Broadway.
Do you hear that, dear?
Mr. Wrigley, I've had a very charming visit, and I shall look for you tonight at the theater.
At the theater, yes. I'll call for those tickets at 8 o'clock.
That'll be splendid. Good afternoon, Mrs. Zucker.
Good afternoon, Mr. Tash.
Lena.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Wrigley, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Tesh.
Mary, I suppose my chauffeur is frozen to death. I'm going to send you my route from Chicago, and I'd like you to let me know occasionally what's happening to you.
Mary?
Yes, dear?
I found this book with a picture of Edwin Booth. Take a look at him and look at me.
Yes.
What do you think?
You have heard The Flattering Word by George Kelly. Reverend Wrigley was played by Frank Hotchkiss, Mrs. Zucker by Edie Tault, a neighbor woman by Lorraine Hull Smithers. Mary was played by Leslie Ann Story, Eugene Tesh by George Backman, and Lena by Julie Holst. It was produced and directed by your host, William Smithers. Recording engineer, Brian Brown. Sound editor, Lars Nelson. This has been a production of KCSB and the Santa Barbara Theater of the Air.